Good morning.
Good morning.
You guys are great to behold. It is totally exciting for me to be here this morning, to be physically present with each of you and all of you together is a real comfort to me. I am so excited to have you guys here. I want to ask you, if you will, this morning to get out your Life Point outline, if you haven't already pulled that out of the seat in front of you. And I want you to know that I had a totally different direction for this morning. I have to have everything basically turned in for Sunday morning by noon on Thursday. And so when I went home Wednesday evening, about 8:30, quarter to 9, I called myself ready. I was just ready to do the Life Point outline Thursday morning. And I knew I was kind of troubled in my heart. I felt like I'd done what I was supposed to do, but I was just, I get up. Well, actually, I woke up, I think about 5 o'clock Thursday morning. And a lot of times I get up and I just have my time alone with the Lord. But usually I sleep a little bit later on Thursday mornings. But anyway, I just was stirred inside. So it's just like, okay, Lord, I thought I've been following what you want. I've gone the direction you want me to go. I just don't understand what's taking place. So, Lord, you're making me nervous about this. So anyway, when I got up and got myself ready, and Catherine was still getting her beauty sleep, I got up and got alone and got before the Lord, and then I just knew. It's like, this is not what I want. I've got something else. And I knew something that God doesn't often do for me, and that is that he totally changed. And he thanked the good Lord he doesn't do it on Thursday morning when I've got to have everything turned in. And so I have gone a completely different direction this morning, and I want you to know that. I really believe at the core of my being that this is where that we're supposed to be as we come back this morning for the very first time. I want you to look at the message this morning, and that's God's love for every race. And if you're sitting at home this morning and tuning in with us, I hope that you'll just get kind of set up and everything and just really listen and let God speak to your heart and touch you. As God has dealt with me and just reminded me and pointed me in a fresh direction. I want to read two passages from the Word of God, one from the New Testament, one from the Old Testament. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 says this, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men." And then 2 Chronicles chapter 19 and verse 7 says, "Now then, let the fear of the Lord be upon you." And then he's going to tell us what he means by that, the fear of the Lord. What? "Be very careful what you do, for the Lord our God will have no part in three things: unrighteousness, partiality, or taking bribes." If you're like me, you have nervously watched on television and watched what's been taking place in our country, and I think grievously watched it as well, that the things that have played out this past week. The egregious death of an African-American, George Floyd, that took place and has been on national television again and again. The emotional suffering and the pain of the family, the anger that is there. Then we've also seen the wanton destruction, the looting of stores, the burning of buildings, the horrific violence toward police officers. We have watched horribly some of these men that have been shot, others, some have been run over. And just the reality, I think, that's in our heart, that we have been reminded again that we're living in a nation that racially is divided. There's division. What I want you to notice in your Life Point outline is a core truth. And the core truth is this that God just put on my heart. Disruptive moments are divine appointments. Disruptive moments are divine appointments. What I mean by that is God didn't cause what happened. Would you agree with that? God did not cause that. That was not his will. But God has worked through that, and God is wanting to use that to put something up in front of us that you and I would think about and consider and say, Father, what is it that you're wanting to say to us? What is the message here? We want to hear it and we want to be obedient to it. You know, as a Caucasian male, as a white man, it has been, first of all, a surprise, and it's also been a blessing to myself and to Catherine that God moved through our youngest son, Joel, to adopt three grandchildren that are ours now, two of which are of a different race. They're Haitian. And that was a wake-up call for me. I was raised in South Arkansas, was a very racially divided area. I grew up in an era when, of course, there was the whites and the blacks and all colors were divided. I grew up in that. That's what I experienced. I grew up going to the movie show and the white setting one place and the black setting a totally different place. I grew up in that. That was what was presented as normal to me. And now at this stage in my life, every time I go to my youngest sons and get to visit with him and when they come home with us, I've got these six grandkids that come running into our house. And I've got two of them that are from a totally different race. And God has put in our family two Haitian precious children. And they look at me and they call me Papa. And they want to know, do you love me? Do you love me? And are we part of the family? And I've got 10 grandkids that are biologically connected to me. And I've got 3 adopted that we put our arms around and embraced. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we have members in our church family from various racial backgrounds and ethnicities and cultures. I've got a Hispanic brother and sister who are surrendered to the ministry of Jesus Christ. They are dear friends to Catherine and me here on the hill. And we are gripped by their love for the Lord and their love for the souls of the Hispanic people that they want to reach and bring them to the hill and see them come to faith in Christ. We have in our home, or in our church family, a Caucasian man and an Asian American wife, Korean. They have a love for Jesus, a heart for the Lord. The woman is just a lovely, lovely woman, seeks in any way possible to show the love of Jesus to Catherine and me and to everybody that she can. My oldest son, Kristen, married into the American Indian culture. One of our elders is an American Indian. He's a red man, loves Jesus, is a great leader and an elder in our church family. And when we look at him, we don't even think about the fact that he's not a white man, do we? Huh? No. I used to pray, Father, help me not see color, but just want to see people. And I've come to realize that's not a biblical prayer. That's not the way I should be praying. God made ethnic groups. God made them. That was his initial plan. Cultures are part of his plan. If you're over 50, you probably remember, you would talk about ethnicities by red, yellow, black, and white. They were given to us by the Creator as part of his plan, ladies and gentlemen. And I want you to look at the truth in your outline. Color isn't to be ignored. It is to be celebrated as God's plan. Remember how we grew up as kids in Sunday school? What was that song we sang? Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. We sang that over and over and again. Here's what I want to do. I want to do two things this morning. First of all, I want us to pray upon those men and women who are called upon to be our protectors. The men and women in the law enforcement here. And I want us to pray also this morning that we'd extend up a prayer to the Father for racial reconciliation, that we will see ethnic groups as part of God's plan in our heart. And then number two, I also want us to look at what the Bible says about racism, because it runs in a lot of different directions. Our country's divided, angry, there's fear, there's desperation for healing, and the country that we love is in a mess. Do you agree with that? I mean, we've seen that, and it's been troubling. And as the Church of Jesus Christ, you and I cannot be silent. The people around our city want to know what is the heart of the people on the hill. We've got several families who are connected to either the Lufkin Police Department or the Angelina County Sheriff's Department or the Texas Department of Public Safety. And they are good people. They're members of our church family because they want to follow Christ and they want to be obedient to Him. And they've been led by the Holy Spirit to be here, and they want to live out what God's calling on them through what they do in seeking to serve the public. And what I've done this morning, I've asked for our officers, any officers who could be here, to come at this service and then some at the next service so that we could pray over them. We would let them know that we're holding them up in prayer and that we support them and that we want to pray for reconciliation because it's the subject of the hour. And that prejudice, and I want you to understand this, prejudice is one of the oldest sins on this planet. And prejudice is not an American issue. It is a world issue. There is racial prejudice in every nation on the planet. There are racial groups that are prejudiced to other racial groups, and that is anti-biblical. It is not of the Lord. And so what I want us to do this morning, I want to ask our officers that are here, and we have several here, would you guys come, men, women, whoever is here? They're going to come down to the front, and I want us to pray for them. And if there is somebody here this morning and maybe your family member is on duty and they're not able to be here and you want to stand for them, I want you to come and just come down here to the front and stand here to represent your loved one that's maybe unable to be here if there is any here. All right? Anybody else want to come? Come on down. First of all, let's give them a God bless you. Will you do that? Amen. Yeah. We appreciate them so very much. And I just want to say to all of you guys, thank y'all for coming. It's huge that y'all would take time out of your busy schedules to be here. And we just want to pray for you. We want to pray for your safety. We want to pray for you when you get into some tough situations out there. That God would keep your head clear. And God will keep your head cool, and that He will protect you when something could really go a different direction, that He'll just give you wisdom in that decision, okay? So let's all bow together as we go to our Heavenly Father and pray His hand on them. Father, we just thank You so much for these men and women who are here this morning. We're very grateful for those, Lord, who our line of defense against us when people are breaking the law, when they're being disruptive to human society. Father, we thank You for this line of defense, and we know that it is ordered by You. You have ordered, You have given to the government the power of the sword, and it is a heavy burden. And so we pray for these men. We believe with all our heart that they have a deep respect for life. When they get put into some difficult, difficult situations, when people don't behave right, when the pressures of life push people to a breaking point. And so, Lord, for each of them here, should that situation face them, we pray for them even now that they will have sought You, that they, before they get out every day, will cry out to the God who is God of heaven and earth, that You will give them wisdom and discernment as they react and respond to people and to situations, And that, Father, that you will keep them and you will bless them. And in Angelina County and in the city of Lufkin, Father, that your good hand will be upon us, that we will have the blessing of good race relations with everyone in this place, in this county, in this city. Father, thank you. Our hearts are toward you. We need you. And we ask you to bless us with your favor and help us to be one together as a group of people. We pray this in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you guys again. Let's bless them. Thank you, Sheriff. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. Bless you. All right. If you will grab a Life Point outline, I think you've already done that. I want you to look at two things this morning. Number one, I just want us to understand this. And this is just something God's been working in me. This is what I totally believe God wants us to hear today. And that is, number one, that race was God's idea. Race is God's idea. Titus 2:11 again. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. That phrase, to all people, can also be translated to the whole human race of people. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to the whole human race of people. Look at this next truth in your outline. Racial reconciliation is at the heart of the message of the gospel. I want us to understand, race isn't a minor issue in Scripture. It is not a minor issue. Racial reconciliation is one of the things that the Lord Jesus came to do in dying on the cross for our sins. So let me say it again. Racial reconciliation is at the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So how you and how I relate to and treat ethnic groups that are other than our own kind matters deeply to the Lord. It is very important to God how I relate to an African American, to an Asian American, to an Hispanic, to anybody who is not in my culture and is not in my my background, my skin color, whatever. That is very important to God, how I respond to them. 1 Chronicles 19, verse 7. The Lord our God does not tolerate three things: perverted justice, partiality, or the taking of bribes. And notice those in your Life Point outline. Three things that makes God angry. Number one, taking bribes. I'm going to start at the end and go backwards. Taking bribes. Number two, perverted justice. And what that means is, what God is saying is, our Heavenly Father gets angry when there is not fairness for everyone, when there is not fairness for every race, regardless of the color of the skin or their background. So the truth in your outline, fairness for only a few isn't fairness at all. That's just a biblical understanding. There are places today in America where there is injustice for a certain culture or other people over maybe another culture. In some places, maybe it's African American. In other places, maybe it's Asian American, that it's more difficult. Or in others, it's Hispanic. But in any case, it's not right biblically. The insight in your outline, God's plan for the hill, if we are to call ourselves His church, is that we are an all-nation congregation. That's what our Father wants. And I just want to say this. While I believe that this is what God wanted me to do this morning, I've been so grateful for our family here on the hill. I've been grateful that we have people from different cultures who have felt the work of the Holy Spirit to the point that they were willing to say, this is where I want to be a member. And so I just want to say thank you for that, that they feel like that this could be a home for them. The third thing that God says that He hates, number three, is partiality. Partiality. And what is that? Well, it's an old English term for racism or prejudice. God says He hates that. The truth in your outline, partiality is treating one group of people better than another group. God wants every ethnic group and culture treated the same. treated the same, fairly. And here's an observation. Anytime we talk about racism, it's a complicated issue. There are no easy answers, and it is easy to misstep. I am sweating. Why? Because I'm concerned about each word coming out of my mouth. I'm very concerned. And I want you to know, I don't necessarily think that I'm going to get it all right. And so to those in our family here on the hill of another culture, I just want you to know, if I misstep in some way, I warmly welcome your gracious recommendations and suggestions. That you can let me know where I have misstepped this morning. I realized, like I said, early Thursday morning, that what I had prepared wasn't going to be appropriate, and that God had placed us here in Lufkin not to be silent about the whole issue of racism, but to address it and to call it out. And it is becoming a national conversation. And here's the thing, beloved. If the Church of Jesus Christ fails to address racism, the younger generation that is coming up will consider the Church of Jesus Christ irrelevant and useless to human need, because this is the challenge of this day. We had, many of you that are white-headed like me, we had our challenges. We had the things we dealt with. This is the challenge of this day. And the Church of Jesus Christ needs to have an answer, the biblical answer that brings honor to God and lets people know that we're relevant to every generation in time. Can you say amen to that? And so as you leave this morning, I want you to remember above everything else that race is God's idea. It is God's idea. It was His plan. God chose to make the races. That's what Acts 17 says. For God has made from one man all nations on the face of the earth. That's what Acts tells us. And so prejudice toward any race, any skin color, is sinful. It is sinful. And so I want to close this morning with just one main point. Never thought you'd hear me say that, did you? One point. All right, here it is. But actually, it's point number two. Racial prejudice rejects God's plan. It rejects His plan. God wants you and I to be sensitive to those that are different from us. That we always seek to be fair and considerate and inclusive to people of different ethnic groups from us. That we're just mindful of that. And it doesn't mean that we don't see color. We do. But we realize that this was God's plan, to have a family of different colors and cultures and backgrounds. Here's how God put it. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Through Christ, God made peace between us and Himself, and God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, we as ambassadors for Christ, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us to the world. So what Paul is saying is race matters to God. God created race. God created color. He could have made all of us alike, but He didn't, because the Lord likes color. He loves variety. And when you and I are racially prejudiced, we in effect are saying, God, your plan is flawed. If you'd asked me, this is how it ought to be done. And so when we are racially prejudiced, we are basically saying, Father, you messed up. You should have made everybody just alike. You know what that is? That's arrogance. That is a sin before the Lord. The truth in your outline, prejudice is a sign of ignorance of the plan of God for the human race. And the more ignorant that I or you are of God's plan, the more prejudicial I'll be. The more I'll look down on others. James 3:17 gives us God's definition of wisdom. Just listen to this. But the wisdom from above, in other words, the wisdom that comes from God. So real wisdom comes from Him. Wisdom doesn't come from a book. If you want knowledge, you go to a book. If you want wisdom, you go to the Lord. Wisdom comes from Him. So wisdom is from above. Then He says it is first of all pure, and it is also peace-loving. So if I don't seek peace, if I incite a riot, I'm not wise. Wisdom is peaceful. And that is where, when I've looked back, that is where I see the wisdom of Dr. King, in that he always sought for peace. It was not about fighting. He didn't want people fighting in the streets. He was against that. That is the mark of biblical wisdom. He rejected and disdained that as being a response to racial prejudice toward his people of his color and his ethnicity. Anytime that we create conflict in our family, anytime I create conflict with my children or in the workplace, if I'm working up here and I am a conflict creator, I am not being wise. I'm being foolish, because that's not the way of the Lord. And so wisdom is peace-loving, and he says it is gentle at all times. So when I'm approachable, when you are approachable by anybody, you are being wise. You can be reasoned with, because you truly want to get along with people, anybody. And so when I'm rough or when I'm a bully, I'm not being wise. I'm being a fool. And wisdom, he says, is willing to yield to others. That means that I am friendly. I am approachable to others. Then I'm being wise. And it is full of mercy. It is compassionate. So the more compassionate you are toward others, the wiser you are. You're more like God. And the fruit of good deeds, it shows no favoritism and is always sincere. So God says real wisdom isn't knowledge. I can be smart and not be wise. 1 John 2, verse 11. Whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded him. If I make straight A's in school, the only thing that shows is that I have knowledge. But it doesn't mean I've got wisdom. And look at the truth in your outline. Knowledge shows up on a test, but wisdom shows up in relationships. And God says, I want my people to be wise. That's what God is looking for from us. If we are a wise fellowship, then it shows up in our relationship with each other. The words gentleness, compassion, free from prejudice, friendly, peaceful, those are all relational terms. Relational terms. You can have a PhD and be a fool with regards to wisdom, because you can't get that from a book. You can have a PhD and be relationally arrogant. You can have a PhD and have racial prejudice, thinking that you're better because of the color of your skin or because of your background. The truth in your outline, wisdom shows in your relationships with family and with people. So let me close with three things. Three things this morning. Number one, don't be ethnically blind. Don't be ethnically blind. That's insulting. Just don't make decisions. God doesn't want me making decisions about somebody based upon their ethnicity, on their color, on their culture. God said, don't do that. Don't judge them because of that. Get past that. My two grandchildren of Haitian background, their skin is black by the design of God. And I don't love them if I can't love them just like they are. I don't have the mind of Christ for them if I don't love them just like they are. When I look at them, I am looking at two kids that this is God's plan for them. God's plan for me was white. What right do I have to feel like that I am better than them? I don't have anything to do with being white. Huh? You didn't have anything to do with your whiteness. You're white because God gave you white mamas and daddies. He could have just as easily had you born a different color, but he didn't. And it is arrogance on our part if we think our whiteness, it gives us some kind of level over somebody else. Not that I'm saying that, but it just needs to be said, right? It just needs to be said. We need to understand that. How we look as far as the color of our skin, our ethnic background, is God's decision, not ours. This is how God wants us living. And so number two, be very careful that you and I don't say to somebody of a different ethnicity, I understand your world, because you don't. We don't. I am a white Caucasian male. What in the world do I know about what it's like to be black in America? What do I know what it's like to be Asian? What do I know what it's like to be Hispanic or to be Indian? I have dealt with very little, if any, prejudice as being a white man. I've not experienced that. There is no way I can say to my black brother or my Asian American friend or my Hispanic friend that I understand racial prejudice, because I don't. I don't understand that. I have never experienced that in my life. But as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, God wants you and I to begin seeking to understand how they feel. And they're the only ones that can tell us that we need to do that. And then number three, God's plan to bring the races of the world together is the church. That's his plan. That's what the church is supposed to be about. 1 Corinthians 12:13 and verse 27. Some of us are Jews. Some of us are Gentiles. Some of us have been slaves, and some of us are free. So you've got all these different people, all these different ones, Paul is saying. But we have all been baptized into one body, amen, the church, through one Spirit, and we have all received the same Spirit. Now, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a necessary part of it. Amen. That's God's plan. One more, Galatians 3:26. God's plan, it says, is that our primary identity isn't our race or our sex. Here's what he says. You are all Christians. You are one in Jesus Christ. Amen? 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 That's God's plan, that we are one together through the Lord Jesus Christ. Red, yellow, black, white, different ethnicities. God's plan is we all come together, and the thing that brings us together, the thing that makes us one, is the Lord Jesus Christ and our faith in him, that we are one in the Lord. And someday we will all gather before him in heaven. And when I get to heaven, when God gives me a brand new body, guess what color it'll be? Huh? That's what I am. And the Bible says in Revelation that when we gather before the throne, there will be people from every nation and people and tongue and language. How are you going to know that? Because they're going to be just how God made them. And so when we get to heaven, it's going to be God's family, just the way he planned it, that we're all the same. And so we're all on the journey of becoming the men and women that God wants us to be. So will you just bow with me as we go to the Lord in prayer? And I just want to end this morning with prayer, and then Pastor Todd is going to come, and he's going to close us out. So, Father, thank you this morning, God, for this opportunity. We're all torn. We're all grieved. We desire that America will do well, that she will be a light on the hill. God, that she'll be a leader in the world. We desire that. We want that. We want to see peace in our land. And that's going to come by us not being divided racially. This has been a constant situation for generations. And so, Father, we pray today that we will be what you want us to be as your people. God, that we will be people who seek to build bridges and not burn them down. And that we realize that ethnicity and culture and the color of skin is your plan. It's part of your divine plan. And you are pleased with it. And our calling in life as a child of God, as a follower of Jesus Christ, is to share the gospel with every man, woman, boy, and girl, regardless of their ethnicity or background, knowing that you will have all of us together before your throne, just like you made us, worshiping you through Jesus Christ. So, Father, may we seek and chase after that. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.